Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is the book of Leviticus, and tonight we're on chapter 12. And let's ask the Lord to anoint chapter 12. Now, Father God, in your word you have anointed people to do certain things. You've called them, and then you've anointed them. And you stated that all people that are really of you never get out of rank, that they all march, and that they have a leader. And you've placed the leaders over different tribes or clans of people all throughout your word. You have done this, and people that got out of order, such as in the tribe of Levi, there were different clans of the tribe of Levi that were assigned to do certain jobs. And they were assigned to do specific things. And nobody else was assigned to do those things. And, Lord, in this chapter, there are assignments that you've given women regarding cleanliness. And there's assignments for everyone in the Bible regarding cleanliness. And they have to be observed. Otherwise, they're not doing that which you have assigned, and therefore, they are in trouble with you. Like, for instance, in the Levi tribe, there was only one clan that was able to go close to the tabernacle and to touch the, to be there and minister in a certain way. Anyone that would approach the tabernacle that was not assigned to approach the tabernacle, they would die. You'd put them to death immediately. And you assigned the priests, the sons of Aaron the priest, to offer a fire in a specific way, and they offered strange fire, and it enraged you to the point to where you killed them both with fire. And Lord, people need to learn to keep their place. Not everybody in the churches today are to be doing the same job. And they're never to usurp authority over the people that you've put in charge to do something that they haven't been assigned to do. And so, Lord, we know that these are statutes and precepts in your law that are to be observed throughout all time. So, Lord God, in these cleanliness laws in your Bible regarding people who have children, they have babies, and there's certain things that we must do. And otherwise, we're going to be cursed. And, Lord, you don't want this church to be cursed any more than it already has been. We had all of our property taken away because everybody thought they could just do anything that they wanted to do without asking permission. And they paid little or no heed to the things that you stated that you wanted, expected of people that are called the people of the Lord. As a matter of fact, many of them were not the people of the Lord. The church split right down the middle when you sent in the persecution. They were not able to stand under the heat of persecution. It's because they had never prepared themselves. They'd never disciplined themselves. They'd never taken up the cross to obey those that had the rule over them. They'd never denied themselves, and so they had to go. They didn't build themselves on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, on the Word. They didn't observe your Word. And therefore, when the persecution came, the storms and the rain and the wind came, it blew them down, because they were houses that you were living in. But they built on their own way, which is sand. They built on sandy soil, just their own will, their own way. And they're gone now. And many of them have died since. And Lord, this church is still filled with people. And I know that churches all over the world are filled with people that are still doing things their own way. They just feel that you're not as strict as you are. And they don't feel that your word amounts to a hill of beans, because even you say that in the first chapter of Proverbs, because you took my word as being nothing. He says, I'll mock at you and laugh at you, you say to them, when their calamity comes and when they're going out into eternity, out into hell. And they'll scream and cry at you and cry for help, and you'll just mock at them and laugh at them. And so, Lord, I pray that these scriptures here, some people think, well, I'm not reading as much as I should. Miriam, she's getting very sick now, and she made a confession to me that she has been just listening to the gospel. She hardly listens to the tapes or doesn't read and pray anymore. And now she's frightened because there's something wrong with her arms, or like freezing up on her or getting numb. And there's all sorts of things going wrong with her. And she wants me to be able to pull her out of it, but she has to build her house on solid rock, on the Christ Jesus, the Word. And I told her if she'd do that, but she started crying as though she just couldn't, because her master, I guess it's her master, she wouldn't be crying that it's such a hard task to do the things that the Lord says to do. And then we have Bill Waddles out here that we have these propane mosquito machines, and we paid quite a bit of money for them, over $1,000 for each one of them. And he takes the propane tanks off and leaves them off without permission. He takes them off without permission and refills them and then keeps them off, because he thinks that if it's raining, he shouldn't put them back on. In other words, he's going to run this church the way he feels they should run it. He probably figures that he'd save my gas, too, if he took the gas tank off my car, because maybe it's dripping a little bit or something like that, instead of telling me that it needs fixing. And I wouldn't want to try to get in my car and go anywhere if I didn't have a gas tank on it. He said, well, it was raining, and I thought we'd save money by not putting the propane tanks on those mosquito machines. And I said, listen, you should be more worried about not saving money so much with a little bit of propane, but you should be more interested in doing what the Lord says, not usurping authority. First of all, you took the propane tanks off. And then we have a group of schoolgirls that were in the house here, and they would always, every day, they're making all kinds of goodies for them to eat. And then they're sending my little pregnant daughter, Rebecca, to pick up food for them all day long, but they don't want to take care of her children. And that isn't supporting the church and lifting the people of the church up. All they do is just make food for themselves, and they do the dishes very late at night, so I put five of them out of the house. Actually, seven of them are gone now. The house is emptied of them, and it's so much better because I don't have to be, you know, reproving and rebuking and running after people like that all day. And I think that they definitely, their names should be brought to the attention of the people in the church, so that if they see them fluffing off like that, doing their own thing, building their house on sand rather on the solid rock, ministering to the church instead of using the pregnant woman to go chase after their food, and then they spend half a day preparing it for themselves and think that nobody's supposed to say anything about it. One of them, you want to name the names of these people that I put out today? Go ahead.
Alice.
Undersack.
Roxanne.
Roxanne and her sister Summer. Hagen.
Ilana.
Ilana, because they were all into food quite a bit. And not so much the Hagen girls, because they barely eat, but they have a very belligerent attitude and they're like mockers. And then
Jamie.
And Jamie. Was it Rodriguez? Yeah. Okay, and then Amy. She's been out of here for a long time. And also Desiree. And those are so wicked, I don't even care to take the time right now to tell about them. And they're all building their, and they lie too. Alice lies a lot, and the Bible says that if they don't receive what we say in the house, then we're supposed to shout it to, tell the whole congregation about it. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to do what the Lord says, amen, so people can be aware of these people if they happen to be in their midst, that they know what kind of people they are. And we also have, what's his name, this hand with Waddles out here?
Todd.
Yeah, Todd is the usurper of authority, and he really thinks that he has the right to do all sorts of things. He's usurped authority so many times, it's unbelievable. And Jim Dupree, who has stolen things from the church and given them to a whorish-type woman in Tulsa, thousands of dollars worth of lawn equipment that he said he was going to earn money for the church with. And so I think everybody should know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, and everybody ought to know who the devil is, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, you've seen some people here that just don't believe in building their house on solid rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody else wants to act up? I've told people that my two boys have acted up, and they've gotten Proverbs, and they have straightened up somewhat. Then you've got people in the church that lust after men, and some of them that lust after women, and their names are going to become public. I just don't have time on this tape to do it. One of them is Michelle. And so, but Lord, and then we're going to be talking about some things here that the Lord says that one must do if they have a child. Cleanliness laws, and so many people are dying because they eat unclean food. They don't pay any attention to the laws of the Lord. They don't think that they apply to them. They think they're somebody special. And I'm here to let you know that if people keep doing the things that they're doing, that they're not going to be at the church anymore. So, Father, you're not just our God, you're our Father. There's a closeness there with you and I and others that really know you and pay strict attention to the things you say. Lord, we ask that I ask that you bless this, anoint this message here so that it will mean something, the things that it's supposed to mean, into the spirits and into the warped spirits of some of these people that don't believe that your word has any value to it. Lord, we prayed, and everyone says amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Leviticus chapter 12, purification after childbirth. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. Verse 3. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised.
All these used to have to be observed, of course. Now we're to be circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit, to give us the power to be able to keep these simple instructions. Some people act like they're so hard to do, but if they're hard for you to keep, then you don't have the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, because the Lord's work is easy and light. You just don't have the Spirit. And the reason it's so hard for you, because Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. And so that just means that you don't have him. Okay, now go ahead.
Verse 4. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled.
Right, and that is also very good, because the baby needs her at home, amen?
Amen.
So there's a reason for everything. And if you want to come up with another reason, like women's lib, who think that women are equal to men, or even above them, some of them think, well, you're building your house on sand, and you shall be destroyed, according to the Lord. You're destroying your own self. And if you're upset with what the things that God says, I see that there's disgruntled people in the church. There's people that don't even give a ripple or a care if their own kids fall away from the Lord. And there's some of them that they get to be of age and they say, adios, we're going now. They don't even say thanks for raising us or anything, but we want to go out into the world. That means that mother never raised those children at all. They are just dead fish. And they don't care whether they face the Lord with that testimony. They have no concern what he's going to do to them. But the fear is going to come, and it's going to be too late. When they're rotten, degenerate, termite-eaten soul is slung down into hell. I just can't understand some people that have a whole batch of kids and not one of them stay in the church. And when they come over to here, they act like they're somebody that they're not. You're on sand, and I'm talking about Bonnie and her husband. That's one of them. And they'll probably just pack up and leave when they find out, but that it doesn't mean anything anyway. Either they're going to do that, or they're going to say, wow, we appreciate this rebuke and this reproof, and we know that it's true. I'm not making it up. Their last son said, okay, I'm 18 years old, and he took off. Amen?
Amen.
And some of the other ones have too, right?
Right.
And they never call up and says, oh, Tony, my God, this is horrible. My son is... Because they just feel there's no difference between the world and the Lord. And they scream and they murmur and complain, and they feel that they've been done wrong. Now, either they'll leave or they will... start building their house on solid ground, solid rock. And, you know, it's doubtful that they're going to do that. But we're going to start disrobing, defrocking a lot of the people around here that are such horrible testimonies to the rest of the church. You don't hear anything from them. They don't ask. Rarely do they ask anything about the Lord or any importance. And some of them, like Marion, say she doesn't really listen to the tapes that much. She listens with one ear. And then she's wondering why she's getting sick. And she went in for a heart test because she thought she was having a heart attack. She thought she was going into a coma. And there's other people that things like that are happening too. And some of them are so puffed up that they think, how dare you say anything about great me? I'm telling you what the Lord says. If you're not doing exactly what the Lord says to do, then you're building, then you're standing on quicksand. And, you know, nothing may have happened to you yet, but you wait. You'll see. And perhaps you'll remember these words. Now, if people don't receive what I say from the Bible, if they don't receive what the Bible says, what the Lord says, well, then he's going to mock at you and laugh at you when your calamity comes. And your calamity is coming. It's just around the corner. And maybe things are happening to you right now, and you're so pious and pompous that you wouldn't even mention anything about. You'd rather die than confess. But that's what will happen, is you will die. You're not to touch the unholy thing. You're supposed to rear up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I never saw 1 ounce of fear in your children at all. Not even 1 ounce of it. And such pious looks on people's faces. You don't fool God, and you sure don't fool me. Okay, let's keep going.
Verse 5, but if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. Verse 6, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest.
The women have these problems about bleeding every month, and especially after they have children. It's because you women, womankind, which is part of mankind, are the cause of God himself having to come to earth in a man and dying for the sins of the world. It said the woman was in the transgression, not the man. And you ought to just keep your place, women. Some of you are trying to put on this women's lib thing in this church. And of all people to do it in front of is me, because I'm not going to put up with it. I just put 7 schoolgirls out of this house and other girls out of this house. Because of what they do. And I put many people out that are not schoolgirls anymore. That they are women. Michelle, Amy, and you just name any kind of person. And I've told the men, I put men out as well. A lot of men have been put out of this house. All right, let's keep going.
Verse 7. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood?
Right, the blood, she bleeds because she made the Lord bleed, and she made people die. So women, you shouldn't be exalting yourself, because according to the Lord, you're on the bottom part of the totem pole. And that isn't what I said, that's what God says. And I believe him. I agree with him 100%. And I've seen what women are. Okay, then what else?
This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. Verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Translation verses 1 through 8. Purification after childbirth. The Lord said to Moses, quote, give these instructions to the Israelites. Verse 2. When a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is defiled during her menstrual period. Verse 3. On the 8th day, the boy must be circumcised. Bracket, this does not apply any longer. End bracket.
No, about the circumcision, right. Because the Lord wants, that was the sign of the covenant. Now the Lord wants the sign of the covenant to be within. He wants people to do what he says. Now when people are not raising their children to where they fear the Lord, they're not circumcised inside. That means they're not with Christ in them. That means they're Christless. And, you know, the scriptures will bear me out on that. it's not hard to keep the commandments of the Lord if the power of God is in you, but it's impossible to keep the commandments of the Lord if the Lord is not in you. If you think you're doing such a wonderful job for the Lord and you think that I'm worried about you leaving, leave. Because the brothers were not, or the people that call themselves brothers were not doing a good enough job on building. They took years to build anything, and they still do. So I hired unsaved men, and they reared up two buildings here in record time. Probably within 1 month, they built this one building across the street over here and another building that's even bigger, 12,500 square feet. And they put the insulation and sheetrock in, the air conditioning, everything is in, within about 3 weeks. These two buildings would have taken more than a lifetime for these people in this church to have done. And so and the Lord says, don't even let them touch one thing about it, because they'll go home and boast to their wives that they did something on this building, but they didn't lay a finger to either one of them. And I'm having to hire unsaved men in Fort Smith to put the bracing up in that downtown building that the new building that we just bought, that the brothers bought, the steel poles in there, and also to put the roof on. And they claim that they have a roofing crew, but I talked to Shimoni. He says, we don't know how to do flat roofs. And I says, okay, I'll hire unsaved people to do it. And I told them that they're just out there because they don't want to be in the church. They don't have, they're not standing on a strong enough of a rock of the Lord Jesus Christ to put up with some of the people in the church like I do. I put up with them to a point, and then the Lord tells me to start expediting them, getting them out. Because they're not with the Lord, and the Lord is not in them. It's obvious. And so I thank God, because I wanted to have nice buildings that was a testimony. And Terry's mother, and I think it's a cousin that came down and went into this new fitness center that we just built over there, and they've always been kind of outside the church and not thinking that it was that great, but they went into that fitness center and they just flipped out. And they were laughing and giggling and just raising their hands up and praising the Lord. And now they actually want to, I think, come into the church and move in now, because they see that something is done that has some, they can see that people put some heart into building it. But there's so many dunghills. Now, on the other hand, in Nashville, we were hit headlines there because they said that I had kept the place looking like a slum. And it was the brothers, because I've always told them, if there's something needed, fix it. And they left paper and trash all over that church in Nashville, and God took it away from them. And he also took the ridge away from them. And they just think that they've been persecuted for righteousness. No, God took those things away from you people. And it's just amazing that you've forgotten about that already. And that you're so into food, into music, and also writing love letters one to another, little kids. And you people are so lame that you're not even watching them. You don't even know that it's happening, and it's happening right under your noses. But in every assembly that God has called, there's always devils. The devil doesn't have to attack other places. This is where the devil puts people in, is because this is the strongest work that's on the face of this earth. And there's a bunch of non-commissioned officers in this church that usurp authority and pay no attention to anything that the Lord says. And I warned you people for years that I'm going to start bailing people out. At least half this church fell away when you people got raided, because a lot of people realized that there wasn't anything of Christ in them, and they were afraid they were going to be killed. People like Ina Levy and Bill Levy and Richard Heidel and Ed Mick, and who had left even before, and Kathy Wiley and Don Wiley and Waller and Jim Griffin and his wife, and just tons of people that even stood up in court and testified falsely about me. They stated that I kept two sets of books, and they didn't even work in the office. I never kept two sets of books. Never. I had several people working in that office. They never called one of the people that worked in the office to testify against me. Levy did not work in the office. They called him, and there's a person that didn't even speak English. He was a Frenchman, and they called him in, and he testified falsely against me. He said, oh, see, yeah, he has, two sets of books. Because they were unanimously telling the stories that the prosecuting attorney was telling them to say. It was a stacked deck. It was, and I'm not bitter about it at all. I was glad to do it for the Lord, but it's just saying that it just showed how many phonies that were in this church and how many devils that were in this church. Birgitta Gillenhammer, she went up and said I was giving her $40,000 a month, and we didn't have $40,000 a month, and she didn't need it. She's the heiress of Volvo Automobile Company. Why in the world would I have ever given her $40,000 a month? I didn't give her $40 a month because we didn't have that kind of money to toss around. We had payments on vehicles, and I doubt if we were taking in that much money per month. And she called up before and stated that, what will I do? They're going to send me out of this country if I don't testify falsely against Tony. She was saying that to Lydia. And I said, well, Lydia, she says, should I talk on the phone or should you come down and talk? Have Tony come and talk to me. I said, no, I'm not talking to her. You just, it's obvious what she's going to do. I sent Lydia and somebody else down to talk to her on the Sunset Strip in some restaurant or at her dress shop. And she said that the prosecuting attorney said that they're going to take her house away, which was a $3 million house that she bought from Les Brown, the band leader, and her dress shop's away, and deport her back to Sweden where she came from. She was the Princess of Sweden. The Gillenhammer family is well known in Sweden as the Rockefellers are here in the United States. And they're royalty, and they own Volvo, the third largest industry in Sweden. And I led her mother to the Lord and her sister to the Lord, and I led Birgitta to the Lord, and I led her sister's husband to the Lord. They're both doctors, her sister and her husband. They don't have husbands there. They never get married because of the tax laws. They tax you enormously if you get married there. So that's just about what it is everywhere in the world now, in here in the United States, that if you get married, they tax you. Because they just want children to have sexual intercourse so that they can be responsible before the Lord, that they are fornicators, and then they send them to abortion clinics to have abortions so that they're guilty also of first-degree murder. But, you know, this is a refuge, a place for people of the Lord, and I've watched some of you over the past 20 and some of you 30 years, and I'm saying that the new ones that are coming in, they will be first. And if you don't start building the right way, doing what the Lord says, you're going to be last. And some of you are getting tired, you know, like I don't have an office like most pastors do, where you can take people aside and just talk to them inside there, and nobody knows. They don't hear all the different rebukes that you're giving people all day. And so consequently, they maybe take to heart more the things that you're saying. But in here, in this office that I have, there's secretaries and everything around, and all kinds of people around, and I have to keep rebuking. And all they do is hear me rebuking people because they're so bad. And they're getting disgusted with me because they say, all he does is complain. But I know that I can see that look on their face. They're not coming out and saying it because they know I'd throw them out of the church. But I see the look on their face, and I see that they don't really do the work for the Lord. Like, I have a report here on Gerard. Sanford reported him, and Sonny reported him, that he doesn't like to work. And other people have reported him for the same thing. And he wanted to be a truck driver, and he says, I made a mistake now, because I sent him out to learn how to drive a truck. He'd like to drive the truck, but he doesn't want to help load and unload the truck. And he likes to take his time eating, and if there's something to be done, they don't they just won't, he won't go with them right away. He says, I haven't finished eating, so he takes enormous amounts of time to eat. And then he acts like the master of ceremonies of the church. I walked into one of my churches in Fort Smith, and he says, welcome to the Alano Church. And I says, welcome to it. I know I'm welcome here, man. This happens to be the church that I pastor. Are you that dense that you don't know that? But, you know, I keep, there's so many complaints that I have to make. I had so many rebukes that I have to rebuke that people actually think that I have a bad disposition. And in reality, I'm not, in the natural, I'm not that way. To me, I could care less if you lived or died in the flesh. Before I got saved, I could have cared less if you took pot, if you was a homosexual, if you was, you know, anything, wife beater, I could care less. But now that I'm saved, I have to warn people about these things. And it's obvious a lot of you people that are guilty of all sorts of things don't like it. Well, if you don't like it, then I suggest that you go to some other church, because this is the way the Lord is, and this is the way that I am. And this is the way that you're going to be confronted even worse than this at the judgment bar of God. Now, I throw people out of the church, but God is going to throw you into the, if you don't repent, into the pit of hell. Because he can destroy your life and your spirit. He's sent it to hell. So I'm just warning you. Now, some people, like Sally, has made the apartments over there like a slumlord. They're saying, you just keep saying these same things. Yes, because it's true. So Gerard and then Buster reported them both for at a hospital, and he was witnessing to somebody, and Gerard just busted in on them and started saying all kinds of things that that interrupted. And Buster was appalled, because he had heard me on a tape just a day or two before that saying, don't ever interrupt a witness. And he says, do you know what the fear of the Lord is, or something like that? And the man was dying that he was supposedly witnessing to. And he actually died afterwards. But he said, I don't ever want to see that black man in that, and I think he says his wife, in this my room again. And he started bringing Catholic statues back in, because when Buster was witnessing to him, and I think it was somebody else, I can't remember. Do you remember?
Okay.
And Bill Parrish was witnessing to him. They took all the Catholic statues out of there, but then Gerard was getting jealous that he wasn't getting his 2 cents in there, and totally defied, usurped authority, broke the commandment of the Lord. He broke the spirit, and the guy started, and his relatives didn't even want our people in there anymore after that. But finally Buster and Bill Parrish got to go back up there again and straighten it all out before the man died. And then he said, well, I don't want to drive truck anymore. I want to go down the boulevard and be a witness. And Sally said, yeah, that would be so nice to be down on Hollywood Boulevard witnessing. Well, first of all, kids, you have to be a witness. Amen?
Yeah.
And I don't see that you are witnesses of the Lord. You better just stay in the background, all right? Because I'm not going to send you down to any boulevard to be witnessing, because you're not witnesses. All right? Now, if you want to be called a witness, you're going to have to start receiving the things that the Lord says and not get upset when you're reproved and rebuked. Now, you don't receive it over here, so I'm to take it to the church. And if there's, and many people in the church have admitted that these people are that way. Now, if you think, now I put out a family of several families that had a lot of kids too, because they were just too bad. Remember Cooper, who went and got in a fist fight with Ben Edwards and popped him in the mouth right in front of the church and the baby Christians? I said, and his wife was sticking up for him. I said, you people are not of the Lord. You have to leave. So I put him out. That was Susie Broderick's sister. And I put him out. And they started saying all kinds of bad stuff about me, but hey, I've been called everything. I've been called all kinds of things. Before I was saved, you know, some of the people were right. They called me Mr. So-and-so, you know. And some of them wouldn't even say Mr. before that. Okay? And they was right. But now I'm doing what the Lord says. If you want to call me Mr. Blankety Blank, I'm going to put you out because I'm in charge of this church, all right? And if I see that you're calling me that by simply defying what I say and not doing what I say, I'm going to take that you're calling me Mr. Blankety Blank, and I'm going to put you out, okay? And if you think I'm a castor milquetoast, why don't you think back to all the people I put out of this church, huh? Why don't you do that? And we're going to do, and I'm an ace promotion man, you know, the Beatles want me to do their promo and the Rolling Stones and everything. I'll do a promo on you. That's what I'm doing right now, okay? You can say that Tony Alamo did a promo for y'all, okay? This is a Tony Alamo promo, and the Lord has commanded me to do it. And I didn't say, well, they haven't been around here long enough. I don't do this to baby Christians. I just do this to people that have been warned for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And people that have been here for a year should know what's right and what's wrong. If you're wrong, you're building your house on sand. If you're right, then you're on solid ground, and you won't hear anything out of me but compliments. So let's go on with the rest of this message here.
Translation verse 4. Then the woman must wait for 33 days until the time of her purification from the blood of childbirth is completed.
And Ilana, like, she likes to write letters back and forth to different boys, and they write letters back to her. And it got to the point that it was so bad that she's using, like, very vulgar language in the letters and saying, and the boys that are writing to her say they hate this person and they hate this person, and these teachers, that they hate Mrs. Ondersack, and that she's a this and that, and they hated Bill Parrish's wife, and that she's a big so-and-so, nothing, and this and that. Talking about people like that, so I put her and her mother and her dad out of the church because there was no place. She was so young that there wasn't any place I could put her. So I had to put her mom and dad and her out. And then the Lord told me, because they were putting her in a public school, and I knew that she was so gone that if she went there, that there's no way that she could ever be saved. So I brought her back, and she's been doing a little bit better, but she still had to go because she acted reluctant to babysit a person that's going out and buying food for them. I just can't understand these people, along with Alice and all these other people. They said they're too busy to babysit. All they were doing was they were busy preparing their own food for their own rotten little faces. That's rotten to not care about people, you know, especially a pregnant woman. And yeah, they don't take it to heart. That's why I'm... And if the people in the church don't take it to heart, well, you know, I'll be glad to be an evangelist. You know how many invitations I get to go to different churches? I'd rather just be an evangelist and not be a pastor any longer, if that's the way people are going to be. Because I'm not going to be the pastor of a bunch of people that don't have God for their father. God says that if you don't have him for your father, that you're a bastard. A bastard is a fatherless child. So I'm not going to be running the church. You know, they have the Baptist church, but I don't want to have the bastard church. Okay? Now, they named the church after John the Baptist, but I don't want to name this church after the bastards in here. Okay? This is the bastard church of the devil. Now, if you're a bastard, just go to another bastard church like the Vatican, that cult, or the Muslims, or the Hindus, or the Buddhists, or Baptists that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe you can still sin and everything. You belong elsewhere, because God is going to have one outpost here on this earth, if nobody else wants to be an outpost of his. And I know I'm going to get all kinds of flack, but I'd rather get the flack from ye all than I would from the Lord, okay? And that's why I'm doing what he says. He says, bring it to the attention of the congregation. Just bring it to them. And if they all agree, well, I'm going to, you know, close up and take off for India or Africa or some place that the Lord wants me to be an evangelist. Or somebody that will listen. And if nobody listens, well then, praise the Lord. I'll just ask the Lord to take me home. Because I'm not going to go along with bastards. Okay? If you want to be a bastard, go someplace and be a bastard. But this is not the bastard church. Even though we do have some bastards in it. But the Lord told me to measure them up and get them out. Put them in the outer court that don't measure up to the Word of God. And they say, well, we like Susie, but we don't like you. Well, the Lord said He liked me. And He thought I would do a good job. And then He took Susie. So I'm in charge because He knows I'm rough and tough. Like Him. He was rough and tough too. He didn't like bastards either. I haven't gone as far as he has yet. I haven't taken a whip and gone into the church and whipped some of them out of the church yet. And I hope that I don't have to. I think I can just have people pack you up and get you out. Because I've been successful that way thus far. Okay? But you go someplace else and sponge off of somebody else. Then they get indignant and say, I've always made a living out in the world. Then go out there and do it. Because you're too bad of a testimony to be here. Now either repent or perish. Shape up or ship out. I'm tired of you. And it's obvious you're tired of the Lord and me. Well, then go. Get. Take a fast one out of town. Okay? There's usually one leaving every hour on the hour, some way, some form of transportation. Okay, go ahead. What else?
During this time of purification, she must not touch anything that is holy.
Right. See, the Lord wants purified people, not people that are just greedy, ugly, unbelieving, unfaithful, unruly. They just hate the rulership of the Lord over them. They despise rulership. And the Bible talks about that. They despise those that have the rule over them. And those that have the rule over them despise the unruly as well. God despises it so much He mocks and laughs at you when you're going out into hell. Then what?
And she must not go to the sanctuary until her time of purification is over. Verse 5. If a woman gives birth to a daughter, she will be ceremonially defiled for 2 weeks, just as she is defiled during her menstrual period. She must then wait another 66 days to be purified from the blood of childbirth. Verse 6. When the time of purification is completed, for either a son or a daughter, the woman must bring a year-old lamb for a whole burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a purification offering. She must take her offerings to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 7. The priest will then present them to the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she will be ceremonially clean again after her bleeding at childbirth. These are the instructions to be followed after the birth of a son or daughter. Verse 8. If a woman cannot afford to bring a sheep, she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One will be for the whole burnt offering, and the other for the purification offering. The priest will sacrifice them, thus making atonement for her, and she will be ceremonially clean. Unquote.
Now, I didn't mention that, you know, the people that say they're brothers wouldn't do the roof, so today I did hire a crew of men, unsaved men that are going to put the posts in that building and put the braces on it and put the roof on in Fort Smith. And so, who needs you? Okay? Who needs you if you're not going to work for the Lord? If you're not going to work for the Lord, then get out. Flea bag. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, commentary now.
Yeah, so that was the last verse in Leviticus chapter 12. And now we have some commentary here.
12 verse 2. Quote, when a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is defiled during her menstrual period, unquote. If a woman has conceived and given birth and born, the laws regarding ritual purification after childbirth emphasized the commandment of separating the unclean from the holy.
Right, so women are unclean at this time. And so they have to be separate from holy, the holy thing. The only reason that a woman is saved is if she matches up with the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, and if she bears children. Because women are so far gone that God had to put that on them. And men, because they listen to the woman, and you're not supposed to, unless they're saying something that's true, they have to earn the money to support them by the sweat of their brow. This doesn't mean being a office queen or just a watchman, because you're not sweating. This means work. Enough to where you're sweating. Okay, then what?
The people were to practice the holiness code of God in each aspect of natural life. Although it is not always clear to some people today why God deemed certain activities as unclean, these commandments were diligently observed because God said so.
Right, and you're not supposed to be a lesbian in the Church of God. You know, lesbians would be stoned to death, and also adulteresses and fornicators. So that shows, and it doesn't make any difference if you're a mental case and you couldn't remember something, or somebody did something to you, and so you can make up an excuse that someone wasn't, your husband wasn't treating you right, and so you had to go to some other man for counsel or for comfort or to some woman. Now, Tommy Scarcello's wife got it into her head that he didn't care enough for her, and she thought that he was getting into a lot of trouble. That isn't trouble when I'm rebuking him. Tommy's always been fairly good, but there's been times when he was in a slump and I was rebuking him very hard, and she called that getting into trouble. No, when you're being chastened, that means you're being you're in the Lord's clinic. You're being taken care of. You're not in trouble. If you have a heart attack and you go to the hospital and they see what's wrong with you and they fix it, that isn't trouble, is it? That's you're getting fixed, amen?
Amen.
Well, this is the soul clinic. It's a clinic for your soul. And so if you're getting reproved and rebuked, that's what it's all about. Well, after she got put out of the church for kissing another woman, she just wrote a letter to Tom, and he got it yesterday, and he was telling me what it said. And she said, well, I guess the reason I did it was because I didn't think you loved me anymore, and so that gives justification for me to kiss a woman. Or she didn't say that, but that's what she was saying. And she thought he didn't care about her anymore and that he was getting in trouble. Well, if she thought he was in trouble, the Bible says two are better than one. Because when one is in trouble, they start falling. The other one lifts the other one up. They don't go and kiss some woman or some other man or have sex with him or lean on somebody else's shoulder. They go to their husband. Because the Bible tells you to learn only from your husband. Okay, if you thought there was something wrong with me, you go there and find out what it is. Honey, I just don't think you love me anymore, or something like that. Well, if I, as a husband, think out in the world and in the church, if I thought that my wife didn't love me enough, and she thought that I was neglecting her because of that, then she should do something to make me love her. Amen?
Amen.
Not go and kiss some woman, or to have sex with some man, or to even go to some man for counsel. This is the things that the unsaved lesbians and whorish women do out in the world. And that's they just do that all the time. I've observed that a lot. You know, I'm from the entertainment industry, the motion picture industry. And then I got into the garment industry because I was trying to make money for the Lord, and I did. Paid off all the buildings and everything because the people were not making any finances in the church. And I picked up the gauntlet and took off with it, made them stop doing a bunch of things that they're not making any money at. So I asked the Lord, what does he want me to do? He says, you show him how to make money. And so I said, how? And he said, buy the jackets. So they were all into every kind of business, and I put the pencil to it and found out that they weren't making any profit at all. So I made them all do what I was saying. We had a bills list that was about 5, 6, 7, 8 pages long, and it reduced down to like 1/4 of a page, and all they were long-term debts on a few properties, and everything else was paid off. So I showed them how to make money. And then they just kept, they got even worse when everything was paid off. They just got to thinking that they were Elizabeth Taylor's kids or something, or Richard Burton's kids, and so they just stopped working at all. And they started taking their themselves down, these pregnant women. They take photographs of their bellies to see what sex the child is going to be. And they wanted to get this and all these other things. And they were getting 6 and 7 pairs of boots from the Alamo of Nashville. And all of a sudden I said, I don't see how... And they'd leave tools scattered all over the church property up on the ridge. And finally I said, look at you people. And they were even having sexual relationships up on the ridge. And I said, Lord, I don't understand how you haven't taken this property away. All of a sudden, here comes an army of marshals up on the hill with guns in their hands and pointing, and took every piece of property that they had. And I put all those, each house in their names. And the judge wouldn't believe it. And he said, no, you owned all those houses. There was a couple of hundred houses and everything that I had given them. And that's why I went to prison, because they said I owned all those houses, and every morsel of food came in there I ate, and I hardly eat. And I got charged for that and got a 6-year sentence in prison for it. And all these people agreed, these false ones, about 10 witnesses. And the others were so afraid to come and testify because these marshals threatened to kill them and everything else. And now everything is restored back after I did I got out for 2 years good behavior, out on 4 years rather. I did 4 of the 6 years and then a half a year in a halfway house. And here they are again, walking around pompous and so on. And God can make you grovel again. People were sleeping in cars when they kicked them out. And they were, some of them had actually even given away some of our properties without me knowing it. Some of the properties that I had got acquired for them. And so, here we are again. But anyway, Tommy Scarcella's wife was saying all these things, and I said, Tommy, what would happen, like, if you, what would you think she would do if she saw or heard of you kissing another man? Or would you have any respect for me if I kissed a man? God, I've never been accused of that. The government has accused me of having 100 wives and that they sang beneath my window in prison and everything, you know, a choir of like angels or something. And incidentally, I don't think of women as angels. Okay? Maybe Susie Alamo, but not, you know, 100 women. Solomon said he couldn't even find 1 in 1,000. Okay? And so don't accuse me of being a faggot, because I'm not. And another thing, too, is like here they just say the complete opposite of that. That's what they say. And so, you know, you, of course, we're dealing here with the Antichrist, and they just say anything they want to say about you because I'm telling so much truth about them. But I said, so, in other words, if your wife was treating you wrong, that you'd come over to some man's house and kiss them, and that you have the right to do that, right, Tommy? And he says, it's so disgusting. And I says, absolutely. Yeah, or else, because you didn't think she loved you anymore, that you could go and kiss a guy, or any other woman, or somebody else's wife. I says, and if she was let back with those lame excuses, she's coming up with some kind of justification for doing that. She's still doing that after she's been out of the church and in Hawaii, and here she is still saying, well, you know, I think that's why I did it, was because I didn't think you loved me and that you were in trouble. Well, and every time that I rebuke you, maybe then she'd go and think that she could lay up with some lesbian or something. I said, so you know that if any, I would be so stupid as to let her back into the church under those, quote, justifications, unquote, she'd be right back into the same thing again. Tommy says, hey, yeah, absolutely right. I says, don't feel sorry for her. I don't, Tony. I don't. Before Susie died, she says, Tony, always be good to Tommy because he's a good boy. He's a good boy. And so I always have been. Except when he's doing something wrong, and he has done things wrong, and he'll admit it, I've tore him to pieces with the gospel, okay? Okay, but let's finish up this. But I'm just saying some of the crazy things that go on in the church of the Lord. Here this woman has been in the church for years and years and years, and she would think that just because Tommy, she thought while I was rebuking him that he was in the soul clinic, that she had a right to go and kiss somebody, some woman. Well, I kicked the lesbian out, and I kicked her out too. In case you think that you can come up with some justification to go and sin, don't think that. Or that he didn't like her, he was just wasn't paying enough attention to her. The Bible says that those that are married in the last days will be as though they are not married. Amen?
Amen.
So there's somebody who has to break their neck or their back to, or bend over backwards to take care of a woman if the Lord has got you on the firing line. Amen?
Amen.
What for? You see what happened? She went and bent and became a lesbian. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, go ahead.
What God says is clean, and that what God says is unclean is unclean. So it obviously had a significance for the people of that time and our time today. Jesus himself was brought to the temple for this particular ritual. Luke 2:22-24. Quote, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, unquote.
Right. And I was the firstborn in my family, so I must be holy also. Amen?
Amen.
But I really wasn't until the Lord came into me, into my spirit by his spirit, and then he cleansed me and made me whole and holy. Okay, then what?
12:6. The burnt offering and sin offering served to purify the woman, because God said it would. It was for them to secure all needed forgiveness, express her attitude and her gratitude, and renew her dedication to the Lord. 12:8. If she is not able to bring a lamb because she's poor, the family of Jesus did not offer a lamb, but two small birds, the offering for those who did not possess the means for such expense. Luke 2:24. And also you can see the text and note on chapter 5:7. Quote, and if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, unquote.
No, that's New Testament. Where's that?
No, that's Leviticus 5:7.
Okay, well, you have to say that before you read it, okay? Then
yes,
what?
Yes, sir. And that's it.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 12, and we'll be doing chapter 13 of Leviticus this evening, Lord willing. Until then, keep thinking of these things and realize that the Lord wants everything to be manifest. He wants everything that is wrong. And the reason I'm rebuking all these people and telling them these things is because they're in the soul clinic now, right? I'm just attending to them. I'm using godly medication, the Spirit, to try to bring them back or wake them up while they're under ether here. Now they're to wake up from these testimonies that I brought forth this evening. It should work as a soul cleansing factor to all the others in the church, because I haven't been able to attend to all the different people. I could be staying here for weeks to tell of all the different things that I've rebuked people for, Susie and I, down through the years, and they didn't listen and they fell away. So this is for your soul's sake, to bring you to repentance. And so think about these things. Meditate on them day and night, all your waking hours, and God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.